Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to the latest episode of the Terrace Podcast. I am your host, Craig Fowler, and I am joined just by one other person in person. It is Tony Anderson. Hello, Tony.
Oh, hello, Mr. Fowler. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So we can just do it, the two of us.
Why not?
That's fine.
We're friends. We don't need other people.
Yeah, Telford and Sean do it fine, so.
Absolutely. But they're funny. don't know how funny I am.
Unknowledgeable.
I've seen two matches, so, and the rest I've got highlights, but I've been in the ear of various fans, so I'm sure we can do something here.
I have seen two matches in full. Mm-hmm. I have seen 70 minutes of Dundee United against St Mirren.
That's more than enough for anyone.
And I've seen the first half hour of Aberdeen Hearts.
Oh, great. That's the only bit I'm bored of it.
Shall we start with that? Actually,
I think Hearts Aberdeen is in a weekend of mammoth proportions and controversy, where we've seen just before we go every sort of element of VAR and decision laid bare in front of everyone. The rules that we have behind it, the arbitrary rules, the reason, the fact that we can't go at different times, just choosing at different times when to use it and when not to use it. And just getting incorrect decisions. So everything that could possibly have went wrong all went wrong at one weekend. But we'll leave it there, maybe, Fowler.
Yes, because everybody's just talking about it all the time now and I'm already fed up. I was asked to do an article today on VAR and I was just like, oh, for God's sake.
I thought you were going to say, you know, I just didn't do it. I was like, fuck it, I'd love to. Love your job. No, don't like that. Not doing it.
Well, you can pitch other ideas. But so, initially I was going to build it around Hibs and their... Because they came out with the statement, they were one of the first clubs to say, like, yeah, we're fully behind bringing this in, even though they hadn't really talked to their fans or anything. And it felt like saying, well, this is what you get, kind of thing. But then I just done a generic one saying, well, it's just, like, because every decision, this is it. This is the last thing I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Because even...
I say, do it now, and then we don't make it to talk about football.
Because even the decisions this weekend, you can still have other people saying, well, it was given for this reason, kind of thing. Like, so, for instance, let's just talk about probably the most egregious one that everybody thought was Andy Considine handball in the Kilmarnock game. There is a... Joe Wright, I don't know how much of a push it is, but Joe Wright definitely puts his hands out on Andy, at least towards Andy Considine's back. So, I mean, I don't think... So if the referee hasn't given the decision, then VAR can look at that and go, oh, he might have been fouled, and therefore play on. So there you go. There's no right answer, because it doesn't look to me that he's fouled him. And Andy Considine's face looked like a man who kind of knew he'd fucked it. So there is no correct. There is no right and wrong here. Joe Wright might have pushed Andy Considine. We don't know. We don't have a good enough angle. That's another reason why it's a...
Yeah, because we don't have the right equipment.
Yeah, why it's a farce in Scottish football. There's not enough angles to tell, so we're just left in the dark half the time. And even if there was, even if he did have hands on his back, it's pretty much only Joe Wright and Andy Considine will know how much force there was in that and whether that... Whereas to everybody else interpreting it, some people would say it's not enough. Personally, me, I would say it's not enough for Andy Considine to throw his hand in the air, therefore should definitely be a penalty. However, other people would say no, because he's impeded on me, he's put him off slightly, so I don't know why he would react by flinging one hand in the air, but that's obviously an interpretation of it as well, and that's the key word, interpretation. Interpretation, interpretation, interpretation. Let's shut the fuck up and put VAR.
Okay.
Let's go to Pataudry, where, Jesus Christ.
Yay! We're back. At least there's something for the season for us all to have fun with.
Yeah, so it's now...
And the smugness levels of Hearts fans, which were really hitting, like, peaks that have been never been really seen before, even after, like, 2012 and stuff, I'm lording it over the rest of Scottish football. Quotes like, oh, it's now Rangers, Celtic and Hearts. we've done quotes like that going forward. And now, as we all really know, anyone who knows it properly, it's never like that. We're all in the dirt together. And the reality of who you are will always come to the fore. And bad times are only ever round the corner. So you should enjoy them, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. So we're right to be smug, is what you were saying.
I'll certainly be smug if it's finished third. You will be hearing a lot about it.
Yeah, I'll be leaving that chat for a good while again. We'll have to make a new admin because Joel will be leaving as well. Yeah, that was shocking. Like I say, I watched the first half an hour of this game. I don't think there was any really much point in watching the rest of it because it was over as a contest. Hearts were... actually, let's start with Aberdeen, because Aberdeen were very good. And you can see that...
It's like a story of two systems. One, a team that's completely wedded to them, wedded to one, like Hearts, and don't seem to be willing to change it regardless of who's available or what's going on in front of them. And Aberdeen, who've made quite big shape changes and very much big tactical changes in their style. So we see two teams sort of going past each other for those two reasons almost.
Yes, Aberdeen are far more direct than they were under Jim Goodwin, which is, it's almost strange when you consider, especially when we get on to talk about Dundee United later, and their tactics under Goodwin, where it is mainly just hit Stephen Fletcher. But they were a bit more ponderous. I think maybe thought when he went to a job like Aberdeen, oh, we need to dominate possession, we need to do that. Whereas Aberdeen were just a bit kind of good at the start of the season, although they were helped out by some fortune in some games where there was a couple of big victories they got at home where their team were down to 10 men, for instance.
Yeah, that happened a lot, and Duke was diving and just getting it every time before VAR came in.
Yes. Oh, it's good, actually. And now they're just a much more up-and-at-them team. Graham Shinnie obviously coming in as a huge contributing factor in that as well. And, yeah, guys like Duke, he kind of suits that a lot more as well, getting the ball forward just
to
him.
He gets on the ball more.
Yeah. So, their possession stats have gone down since Barry Robson came in, but their chances per game have gone up. And I think this game was a very good example of that.
And I mean, the passing for the two teams, I mean, like, there was, like, Hearts had, like, double the amount of passes Aberdeen had. But Aberdeen had so many more passes in the final third and in the box. So the styles are just so different now. And power to them, because for me, I hate possession football. I don't really think it works too well here unless you're like really, really, really fucking good. And there's normally holes in your team somewhere. So if you've got Duke and you've got up and at them midfielders, then it seems pretty obvious is the way it is just to run over the top of teams when you get on the ball.
Yeah, and they certainly ran over the top of Hearts because they not only had Shinnie, they not only had Duke, they also had Leighton Clarkson, who can fair get around the midfield, and
Ramadani.
Ramadani is a slow player, but he's somebody that does do a lot of work in the engine room. And also quite big in this game, I thought, was Johnny Hayes and Ross McCrory, two very hard-running players at the wing-back positions. And you contrast that with Hearts. Robert Snodgrass can't even move. That chance in the second half.
That was hilarious.
Jesus.
Thought I was watching my video myself.
It's like he's running through wet cement. Robert Snodgrass, Barry Mackay.
As a 2 and a 3-4-3. It's not acceptable.
It's a 3-5-2, actually, I would say. Okay. Hearts have played a 3-5-2 for a while now, so it's a midfield 3, but they are two of the three midfielders. And it just meant that Keogh was left to do so much running. So I remember a Hearts fan said he looked lost. I haven't watched the first half hour. I don't think he looks lost at all. I think he looks like the only midfielder trying to match the tempo of the opposition team.
I suppose that makes you look lost because
you're just running around everywhere.
Headless chicken territory because, like, well, I've got to try to fucking plug as many gaps as possible. Yeah.
So, Cammy Devlin not playing at all in this game was a bizarre decision from Robbie Nielsen.
He's been in and out a lot.
He has been quite poor in terms of...
Because we spoke about this when we done that transfer pod and I was having a laugh about bringing in Latore because you needed legs in there. And he's like, oh, we've got Cammy Devlin. But I was like, well, I've not seen a lot of Devlin recently. And he has, for a guy who was like the fulcrum of the team had to play, is suddenly now. And he's got a unique skill set that I'm not sure Hearts can go without.
He was in and out of the side a little bit, but he was playing regularly alongside Snodgrass when they first had, kind of when it was still the 3-4-3 and they had the two of them before they kind of realised that they needed somebody else alongside because Snodgrass doesn't have the legs to play in a two. Quite why that player was Barry Mackay. Well, I know why. It's because Nielsen just refuses to drop Barry Mackay, even when he's awful for like games like this. And So Devlin kind of played himself out of the team by being quite poor in a few of those, especially his passing. Like, I remember the first half of the Hibs game at Tynecastle, especially, or just that Hibs game at Tynecastle. Yeah, he made the opening goal with his pressing, but he could not find a Hearts player with a pass at all. So that's why he's been dropped. But it's still mental that for a game like this, you definitely need the Cameron Devlin. You need him and Keogh in there alongside one of Snodgrass and Mackay. Personally, I would drop both of them and bring in George Grant, but that's a story for another day. So it was just, Hearts were just so overmatched in terms of the physicality. And then you also factor in like Lauren Shankland playing in that deeper role and trying to help at the midfield. He can't run either. So it was just full of team that can't run.
In Scotland. Not a good move.
No, certainly not a good move. But yeah, full credit to Aberdeen for this one, because they were a much better team.
And Cochrane.
Oh, Cochrane are an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, which is, obviously, we're talking about, I mean, me and you were together on Saturday when you were working, and we were talking about sort of the starting to collate some names together for these awards that we always do, and we were talking about most improved, and Cochrane came up because he'd added, it seemed like in the first half of the season, he'd added a lot more to his game. He was much less passive than he was last season. He was very much focused on, it was like, not making mistakes, being solid, and that's fine. But this season, it really looked like at the start, right, he was having to play centre half at points, and he was fucking doing it at a time of Hearts either. And he was adding a lot into it, but his, and he's an example of maybe a group of Hearts players, they're all coming off at the boil at the exact same time, and they're all really, really crucial players for the team, and it's maybe the first time this has happened under Nielsen in his spells in the top flight. I think it's happened in the Championship, but it never really mattered.
It happens every time. It's happened every season this time. Our Patreon is going to talk about Robbie Nielsen standing with the Hearts support, because there is a lot of Hearts fans who are just fed up and want rid of him now. But this seems to happen every single year in March. It happened in the Championship, because that was when we got beat by Brora.
Oh, yeah,
it was in March, because the Scottish Cup was, like, delayed kind of thing. And then last season, we lost to Dundee.
But it didn't matter, because you were so far ahead.
Yeah, but not long after we lost to St Johnstone, and a lot of fans will say, well, get him out, because we're either going to lose this, or he's not the man to take us forward, because we'll still get beat off this crap. And that was, it was earlier than now, but I still think it was mid to late February or early March. So it just happens every year around this time. The Hearts go in the shitter. And the good news for Hearts fans is that they do seem to rise out of the toilet pan again.
But this time, but the,
I don't know, I was going with that metaphor.
But the toilet pan now is pretty full. there's more shite in it. Because in the Championship, obviously, didn't really have anyone able to deal
with
it. Yeah,
and last season there was nobody.
And this season, by hook or by crook, somehow, two teams that have been in, like, massive crisis. And there's a third, really. I mean, we can't really ignore Livingston, but they're just one more point behind.
Especially since they might be getting over their bad spell.
Exactly, and it's like Hearts might be hitting crisis at the worst possible time, especially because you're going to be basically playing everyone and that's going to be involved in this all at once, and your away game is Kilmarnock. But to go back to Aberdeen as well, I mean, with Robson, with Pollock and McDonald, I mean, I had huge doubts about McDonald, especially when I was looking over his just basically his sort of latter career. Didn't look very good. I was like, well, that stinks of just get anyone in. But he's looking really, really strong. Pollock looks like a real player. And obviously Pollock got on the score sheet. He could have scored again, I think, in the second half. Yeah. He had a good header. And they've totally, basically by Robson's been able to do what Jim Goodwin claimed he was going to do. Jim Goodwin sort of claimed he was going to sort out Aberdeen's defence. But Byron Robson's actually done that very, very quickly with these astute signings. And I mean, if you're looking at the other side of the pitch, you've got Sibbick and Hill. I mean, lucky they were wearing maroon trousers, because every time fucking Duke's going at them, they were absolutely shitting themselves.
Yeah, they couldn't handle. Duke was just moving all across the front three, and that he's
good in the air, Duke. Eh?
Yeah,
I know, like one of those,
a header that is.
It's absolutely flashing. Header, just an absolutely fucking brilliant player, and we'll need to be getting him sold in the summer.
Yes, go away, please.
Too good, far too good. Like, this literally is, I think, with Martin Boyle not being around, you're like, he is the best attacker all round in the league outside, though, from quite like a fair distance, I would say. Yeah. I know he'd say Shankland, but I'd take Duke over Shankland every fucking second of the day. Personally,
he's certainly a more entertaining player to watch. Mm. Anyway, let's move on and let's stick with the race for Europe and go to Celtic Park, where Hibs came with a game plan and executed it very, very well. Were ultimately beaten 3-1 by Celtic, thanks in large part to some iffy officiating. Right, VAR can't take a look at the Juhan one, so you can just talk about that if you want.
I mean, before we go into that, I mean, Johnson went from like one extreme to the other, and fair play, and it worked. And I think from a Hibs perspective, this is a huge game because we've now shown that there might be more balance to the squad and team than maybe we envisaged. That maybe when during games we might be willing to change now if we have to shut up shop. We do that, and it looks like there's a squad of players that can maybe do that now that we've got injuries back. Guys like Lewis Miller coming back into the team and having a really, really good performance in the most difficult place he can go. That bodes really well, yep. especially defensive sense, because Cadden, who has his plus points in periods at Hibs, needed to play because attacking they were so bad that he had to be involved. But defensively, he's not right back. He just got turned into one, and everyone just assumes he is when he isn't really one. And now you look like Hibs might have options, and the way that they were able to pick a team of basically defenders and defensive midfielder and mould that together and shut up shop like that, now you think, well, Hibs have a really, really good forward line. I've shown they can score lots of goals. Now you're thinking, depending on how a game goes or how a game looks, and Johnson willing to make changes in different moments, you see that maybe Hibs have the squad that can just do both.
Yeah, and that's the thing with both Hibs and Aberdeen is that it seems like their upturn has got staying power with both of them, because it's just a number, like Aberdeen for the reasons we said, and Hibs is just a, like if you looked at that Hibs squad after the derby at Easter Road, and you would have thought, well, that's just shite all the way through that. It's just crap, absolute crap. And then since then, Will Fish, great. He was great again on Saturday. Ellie Juhan, like obviously not... I mean, unlucky, but not the best of his.
I see fun ones on Twitter of like, he was running around recklessly, so he needed to be removed from the game. Oh no, not running around recklessly, I say. Because there's some spectacular. I mean, Twitter's just awash. Twitter's just incredible. Especially with the decisions that are going on in Scottish football, it's just wild. And obviously, because of how much further ahead Celtic and Rangers are, the arguments going on there, it's just non-stop. It's that you can pick up your phone at 4:20 in the morning, and there will be people arguing.
Yes,
like no, it's non-stop, and power to them. I can't get in. I'm probably too thin-skinned for it. So, but I'll let everyone else get in, and it's a good laugh to come across. But
so you got those two playing well. You got Lewis Miller coming back and finally starting to show something. Jimmy Jago and CJ Egan Riley have started to have added some steel to the set of the park that was definitely missing. Jake Del Hayes came back from injury. Looked very good at Celtic Park. Ewan Henderson is even starting to look like a functional footballer for this Hibs team. It's all starting to come together. Like,
and you've still got the guys. We've not used Mick or Nisbet recently at all, because we have games where maybe they were. You're probably thinking, let's get them fit. I'm assuming these games that are there, Rangers and Celtic, let's not use them. And the beauty now for Hibs, they'll go to that Motherwell game, even with Juhan suspended in what I think was a ridiculous decision. I don't know what happened, because he didn't even give the foul at the time. So I don't understand how it's all happened. If VAR wasn't involved and VAR's not allowed to change it, I just don't know how it all came about that he ended up getting the booking.
I think it was playing on, but you should, like, pretty much all the time when you play on, especially an incident like that, you don't book the guy.
And also, are you allowed to play on a red card? What if he plays all the balls over the top again? You had slots in, runs away, and he gets a red card. I mean, that's the point. If you're sending someone off, the game has to stop because of that exact reason. The guy can still affect it, even though he's not playing.
Even though he's on borrowed time.
Yeah, so, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's a fun rule. I mean, we're doing some of the stuff we do on the pod and the telly. Aye, good fun, but let him take the penalty or whatever before he goes off, something like that. But in that instance, it didn't really make any sense. But and I don't understand that he came down low. It's just one of those things that happens.
Yeah,
it's just football. And I'll be talking about this with Cal Slattery as well. All that's happening is football's being played. There's nothing to be seen. There's nothing to be heard. It's just the games going on and things like this. I'll happen. So it's just, it's bizarre, and it's annoying because, yes, Celtic were well on top at the time, but Hibs were finding ways of getting forward. They were, Hibs were being really sensible in when they were taking the ball and when they were maybe playing a long diagonal to try and get behind. I mean, they had the Riley shot for edge of box before that. So I was thinking that Hibs just looked, you could see there was a game plan, but it wasn't just a sharp shot. There was going to be sensible times unleashed. They had attackers on the bench.
They did do well to keep the ball. They didn't just stick 10 men behind it and refuse to play and just like pretend, like treat it like the Alamo. Mm-hmm. They actually tried when they managed to get the ball off of Celtic to keep possession and to move their way up the park and to take pressure off the defence.
But that totally ruined it and made it a complete attack against defence. But don't get me wrong, what a workout for the Hibs team. Again, maybe when you look at longer term, they'll take on so much from that, and they were able to get the goal. But because I mean, the chance before that Celtic had, Kyogo, good save for Marshall, and Starfelt hit the bar from a corner. But then the decision for Starfelt to pull Hanlon is fucking mental. He's going into three other Celtic players, and if he wins a flick on, there's no one there. So there is nothing. There is nothing.
There's no danger.
There is nothing Hanlon can do in that situation to create anything. He's just there because we have to put someone there for the long throw. You know, like, there's no way that we're going to create anything. And then for some reason, we go, he just grabs him and he just holds on to him that little bit too long.
Yeah.
Which is the very big difference between that and the one that Celtic got the ball for. That's the huge difference. There's no impeding. The second one, but Vickers wins that one. Some of the Porteous has done it before, when you hook and you win and you make it look like that. But I'm always surprised with the refs when they go for that. With VAR, they're so often that you think they're not going to make a decision because they're going to wait and be told. With stuff like that, I'd always be like, if I'm a ref, I know they're not meant to, but I'd definitely be like, I'm not going to give anything on that. I'm going to definitely wait and be told. So maybe similar to the handling one. I'm just going to wait and be told about that one because it's so hard to tell.
I think the referees are doing that. It feels like the referees are acting like, I'll wait for VAR to tell me. Whereas the linesmen are just like, flag up. It was like, if it's anyway, I want it the other way around.
Yeah, aye. So, I mean, I thought that was, and just again, it's just the pressure. He had an absolute fucking nightmare, McLean. He was given the wrong decisions everywhere. The penalty that Celtic got the second half was just ridiculous. Yeah. Nobody knew. He was falling over, and Marshall just saving a shot. Again, just footballs happening. There's nothing to be seen or to be heard. But Celtic got there. I was, in terms of things, I was impressed with, obviously, Jake Doyle-Hayes, I thought, was really super. It was great to see. He only got an hour in him, but he really put it in for that hour, and he really worked hard, and that's big for him. Because me and you are very similar. He has these detractors, and it's hard to argue with him a lot of the time, especially with last season, because he was fucking rubbish. But I like Jake Doyle-Hayes. Yeah. He's got all the tools, all the attributes to play that role really well. So I would really like it if Hibs could get the best out of him going forward. Celtic, again. Really, so annoying. It's every time. Really clever signing. Perfect. Because they let Giakoumakis go. He's not, and they've replaced him with a similar type of player. They've not just went to, I mean, he's a South Korean. He's not just went back to Asia and went, I'll have another striker for there. It's thought out. Again, you can see there's a list of players ready because it's so quickly done. Minute he's gone, right? Minute he's not fucking happy. Right, we're getting him. Minute fucking Juranovic isn't happy.
Yeah,
he already has Johnson. He already knows who he's bringing in. Like, there's no, and that shows so much joined up thinking, cohesion at the club and for him. But he does so well for that goal because Campbell's touched tight to him. It's not. I'm not going to. Normally, you're like, oh fuck, and he just runs back and he's just running around. He's so strong, but he takes top off. That guy's a machine. And then he scores the brilliant dive and he looks like he's loving it. Because every time I see him score, he goes fucking tonto. And 99 times 100, he's scoring like the eighth in an 8-0 win. But he looks like he's really in it. So that's big again for looking for Celtic. But I'd enjoyed Postecoglou after the game. Oh, he doesn't want to talk about decisions anymore. He's the same as everyone else, and he just plays the Celtic fans like a fiddle. And that's fine. That's his job. I'm not going to say it. He knows when to pick, when to do it, and he's got them all fucking on strings doing whatever he wants, and he knows how to play them. Postecoglou could probably go on a 5-game losing run. I still don't think he gets sacked now. He just like there'd be no, and nearly any manager in the old firm would get sacked after that. I do think he's got that. He's running the fucking show to levels that I don't think I've ever seen a manager really at the old firm do for a long time. He looks untouchable.
Well, go from one old firm manager to another. Let's go to Rangers defeating Motherwell at Fir Park 4-2 despite going behind early on. Michael Beale continuing to win in the Scottish Premiership, or continuing to win at all against anybody other than Celtic. And they are starting to look a bit better now. They're starting to at least score goals and kind of entertain, and are not slogging their way through some of the games in his earlier tenure. They do look like they're hitting a bit of a stride now, Rangers.
It's just like a continuation of a trend. The changes he's made, especially post League Cup final, where he has the attacking players on the pitch earlier at the start, rather than sort of waiting. So Rangers still have that sort of soft undercurrent that probably needs a pre-season to get rid of, when they concede goals for set pieces, they concede early goals, and they go behind, and they were doing that under Van Bronckhorst. I mean, they went behind a lot this season, but he would always wait. But Rangers already have the players on the park when they've already got Cantwell's on the park. I mean, they still have Lundstrom, but we'll come to that. But so they're still ready to just outscore teams right from the start, whereas under Van Bronckhorst, I mean, Ewan was saying this to me, that he would always only have 45 minutes. Because and then sometimes you can, even if you play well in that, you can run out of time.
So much more pragmatic, which helped in Europe. Well, not this season, but you know what I mean, past season. Yeah. It helped in Europe this season well to get them into the Champions League, and then they just got absolutely annihilated. But doesn't help you so much in the Scottish top flight.
You just have to let people go, and so you cut all the wires and let people fucking have at it if you're Rangers or Celtic. There's no point in doing it any other way. Just don't worry about conceding a goal. Don't worry. I mean, the likelihood is you're going to create at least 5 gilt-edged chances in a match. So I really wouldn't get... You can improve, you can make it, that doesn't happen, but I wouldn't pick my team designed to not concede. And that's what Beale's really doing now. And it just looks... They're good. I mean, I was talking on an R pod about Sakala, how I think eventually he will be moved on, but he's doing it every fucking game. Maybe not moved on, but he would end up being back on the bench. And Cantwell... I really like Campbell. I think he's really good. He always plays forward. He's a perfect, perfect Rangers midfielder. It's exactly who you want in that role. His attributes, his style, the way he's always moving forward. I mean, the Colak one, where he inexplicably...
Wild.
Shits it wide. You see Sakala, who looks like a really happy guy, you would need a lot to get him riled up. He looks like he wants to kill him, and he's just losing it, because it's just ridiculous.
It's put on a plate. It's easy. It's an easy, easy tapping.
I think about Colak's maybe having... He played well against Hibs, but he's not been having as much of a good time. I think he's struggling with the fact that Morelos was right up his arse.
Yeah.
And I think he much preferred it when it was just, he knew he was the main man, possibly. But he was fucking garbage there. And Morelos came on and was really quite good. And he set up, which was a quality goal, the Tillman one. The pass, like the calmness to make the pass for Morelos, which isn't always his bag, being calm. And he gets that back to Tillman. And Tillman, it's a fucking great finish. He absolutely roofs it. Motherwell... Did you watch the game?
No, I didn't see this one.
I thought Motherwell were pretty good. They went for it. It was really tough. It's a tough task, man. I mean, we talk about this all the time, really. A lot of time in the Old Firm games, we leave them to last because there's nothing to fucking talk about. But this one, Sean Goss had a weird game. He was really good off the ball and not so good on the ball, which is
weird for him.
Yeah, and Goss, but I mean, his pass was great over the top to create the goal. I mean, Craig Anderson assures me that the offside thing's right, so I'm not gonna get into that. But it looks weird. It does, and for both decisions and that. But I'm not gonna get it because I don't know how it all works.
For those who didn't see Craig Anderson's tweet, he basically was saying, because the problems. Well, for the people who saw his tweet, didn't see the lines for the VAR, because it looked weird because the lines didn't match up with the lines on the pitch. But he said, but the lines on the pitch, the lines for VAR are calibrated before the game. And all they're doing when they're drawing the lines is they're drawing the lines from the kind of the players.
It's like touch.
It's the bodies of the players. Yeah. So it's like who's, you know, where's the last body? Which is, if they're drawing that, and this is the angles that we're working with, again, it's one of the many reasons why it's just not working. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't have enough angles to tell definitively whether a player is right, is on time.
You're just looking at that.
But the lines are calibrated before the game. So, and it's a computer doing it. So we should trust the computer more than we should trust the groundsman's lawnmower to draw accurate straight lines.
Yeah.
So even though it looks like it's a weird computer line on the pitch, the lines on the pitch aren't necessarily straight in the way you would think they are. So that's the way that worked.
Okay, fair play. Again, I just don't take part in these conversations because I don't have a fucking clue what I'm talking about. But I can talk about Rangers at the end going to a back three. Which was quite interesting. Big Soapy Suter, he's back on the pitch.
Who's he? Oh, yeah, that guy.
So the idea that, that might be something going forward, if that's something they want to do, which might help them, firstly, defend set pieces that can get... You can easily use Sakala as a striker in that way. I don't know how much I'd love to see Morelos. Well, it'd be a laugh for us, but I don't know if I'd be interested in Morelos and Čolak in a front two. I don't know how good it would be as such, but it could work because Čolak likes to be in the centre of the box and Morelos likes to go hanging about. But Sakala and Morelos, I think, would be a right laugh to watch as a front two. It'd be absolute fucking chaos at all times. But that would mean that they take a defensive midfielder out of there and they go with the three centre halves, and that would mean maybe that finally Lundstrom, they just eventually go, that is a long, long period of time you've been shite. There's a lot of evidence there that you're not hitting the heights of last season. And again, because he's playing a team that doesn't protect him, when he was under Van Broek, he did. And again, this isn't always, it's not always when you say this, it's not always a criticism of a player.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes players play in systems,
situations
you use them. And right now, I just don't think Lundstrom, and plus, his head's gone a bit. I think he looks like he looks frustrated when he's playing. He's going around, he's kicking everyone. And he doesn't look like a Rangers player. Rangers players normally dominate the opposition, whereas Lundstrom's really not doing that, and he's just kicking people now, and he's just getting really frustrated. He's chasing shadows sometimes. So maybe that might be a smart move, even though... But, see, Beale's a big fan of Lundstrom. It worked well. It was something they liked. And so who knows? But I think there could be changes in the way that Rangers line up. But Motherwell, decent. Van Veen, quality again, working hard. Johnson... on the right, looks like a real cracking player, and then the rest of them are all sort of different levels of okay and shite.
Okay, let's move to. We probably went to this team after the Hibs game because it is still in terms of the fight for European football, and that is Livingston, who defeated Ross County 2-1 at the weekend.
Is this what's going to happen? Is it just they're just going to be the creepers?
And then they'll do it.
They're paying for folk 900 quid a week, aren't they? And they got Aston Aberdeen, who've been splashing cash like we've not seen in years, loitering about. It would be hilarious.
Well, if I want anybody to do it instead of Hearts, it's certainly bloody Livingston.
Oh, no, it's fucking Falkirk. That would also be hilarious if all that we're all like, battling for third, everyone like getting all excited. I'm talking about, I'm not going to miss a game for the rest of the season, I'm going to go every match. It's huge. But and then by the end of it, all right, Falkirk have got it. It was all a fucking giant waste of time.
Aye, fifth place Hearts get nothing.
Hey, that sounds all right.
Okay, so Livingston defeated Ross County 2-1 at the weekend. Both goals coming right after one another in the first half from Joel Newbley and Nicky Devlin, with Simon Murray scoring for Ross County. It looked like an old goal to me. But it's been credited to Simon Murray's goal for reasons. But for this one, I mean, this game and the other game that I watched was very much kind of two teams for the most part aiming to hit a big man up top. But Livingston, to be fair to them, did knock the ball around a lot better than County did for the majority of this game. I think that was... The two tactical wrinkles in both teams, I thought, were quite interesting. So you had... For Ross County, there was no Jan Dander, who was missing for this one.
That's a massive loss for them.
So it was Josh Sims instead in the number 10 role. And he did have a couple of moments in the first half. There was a chance that he helped set up with a drive and run for deep on the counter-attack. And then not long after, the very next attack, he done it himself, where he just drove and had a shot. And I was like, well, that's kind of helping them play on the counter-attack a little bit. And they were doing a lot of the stuff you expect of them, trying to hit Jordan White and getting Eamon Brophy to feed off the scraps. They weren't terrible at it.
He's a wolf, so it all works. Well, the metaphors all work.
Yeah. That's exactly what wolves do. They're not lone, usually, though. Wolves aren't lone.
It doesn't make any sense at any level.
No, they're quite crap at that. They're very much hunting packs.
Look after their mental health. Always together. Always chat.
Yeah, wolves. Very much at their madre. But Brophy, it was a bit of a classic Brophy game in terms of a shooting on sight when you've got other options that you should maybe be considering.
I'm going to call that the Antonio Čolak going forward.
But for Livingston, their tactical wrinkle was that they started with James Penrice, but on the right of midfield. But that actually ended up working.
Okay, did it? I just whatever he fucking does, and this, it does my head in with Livingston. It's just like, oh, I'll just do that, and then oh, it works out perfectly. It doesn't.
But that's just Marvin Bartley at left wing back in a cup final.
The only time he's been stung, and it was in his biggest game.
Yeah,
that was that thing. So I think that deserves to happen because it's a lot of it must be luck. I'm not having it. He just fucking plucks things out of thin air. You're like, that's stupid. Oh, aye, brilliant. Right, he's won.
So Penrice created the first goal. It was his cross, an in-swinging cross with his left foot for Nibley to head in. Good header for Nibley. Then he didn't really play a huge part of the second goal, but still a little bit by kind of vacating the space meant that Nicky Devlin had the room to charge at Sims, and that wee feint that he does leaves Sims on his arse, and then he gets the shot, gets it back, and it's a great finish at the far corner.
Who's...
And then in the last 5-10 minutes... he makes a crucial tackle which denies Eamon Brophy what would have been Brophy's best chance of the game, with a kind of free shot for about 8 yards out. It probably would have went in, but he comes sliding in to block it. So Penrice, yeah, right midfield, perfect.
Well, they've had them at left wing, right wing, and left back then this season.
And I think he's also played centre half. Centre of the park for them before.
And I've seen him like roof the net in that as well, with absolute amazing finishes. The Devlin conundrum, I mean, it sounds like they're definitely going to lose him. I'm a massive Devlin fan. I mean, I think I've said to you, maybe
he was excellent in this game. Him and Jason Holt and Nibley, I thought, were the three best players for Livingston. Anderson was good as well.
Just, and that's good to hear, because obviously the Anderson Nibley thing.
He was far more involved than he was in the United game, where I thought he was really poor.
And he was poor against Hibs as well. Really poor against Hibs. But the Devlin one, it's like, who's going to go for him? He's one of these players, like, he's not hugely talented football wise. I don't know if I've ever done it on air, but I've always compared them to David Gray. I think they're very, very similar players in the way they play, their attributes. So I always think that that players might be better here than he would be down south. So would you think there'll be people? Surely there'll be a pretty queue of Scottish Premiership clubs that could obviously offer more money. Like pretty much all of them could offer more money than Livingston. Do you think he stays here? I mean, I would be against him coming to Hibs, but if it was Hibs, it would have to be probably a squad player. Just I'm just thinking about how the fans would feel. I don't know. I would have him straight in. But
his age, I would say, works against him slightly in terms of Hearts, Hibs, or Aberdeen, because unless you're signing him to be first choice, and I'm not sure if any of those three clubs would. Hearts will still have hopes of bringing in Callum Patterson, for instance. 29. He'll turn 30 next October. Or this October. But that'll be next season. He'll turn 30 quite early into the campaign.
I would love to have him around. He's like a very fucking good player. And he's that dying breed of people that are actually good at defending it right back. But he can get forward, and he does have the impact, and he's just good in the air, and he can cross. And
good character.
Yeah. There we go. All the characters. I was laughing at Stuart Kettlewell done this, and I don't want to do this as a slant at Kettlewell, because every single manager does this. He said after the game that we showed great character, because he was talking about the offside. We showed great character and drew level to 2-2. I mean, it's a fucking shambles of a goal. Tavernier's like all over the place. Cholak, they both miss the ball. And it's that's got absolutely the square root of shag all to do with your character. You've been handed a goal on a plate. But again, this is what I can say. That is what every single manager does in world football. Than just that. So it always makes me laugh. Nothing to do with your character.
Go back to the Scheme County. Well, first, I mentioned Nibley. Nibley's just a joy to watch at times.
Class,
some of the touches he had in this game were just a lovely back heel at one point as well. He's just, yeah, he's an exceptional player in terms of just entertainment in every single game he's in. But Ross County, they did change things in the second half. The second half started and they weren't really getting back into it at all. So he made an alteration, brought on a couple of subs, and also changed the system to the 4-3-3. It played a part in the goal with... So Cancola came on not long after that. He wins the initial ball off of the toe of Scott Pittman, and then Callaghan, who was the other sub, plays a pass through for Brophy and then crosses for Murray. But after that, with the exception of that Brophy chance that Penrice blocked, it didn't really do much, whereas Livingston had like about another three or four chances to really kind of wrap things up, including like a lot of... I took a note of this. So there was a couple of times where Livy just had players charging through. Devlin did it at one point. Well, Devlin had his goal, but then I think did it at another point as well, where he was just kind of charging. Anderson had one where he was just charging through, and I think there was somebody else who I did take a note of, and I've kind of lost it now, where they just sprinted up the park by themselves. And it was a few occasions of Livy nearly scoring like brilliant individual goals late in this game, but just, you know, either missing the shot or having it blocked at the last minute. But they looked the team more likely to add to their scoring, so they did well to kind of see it out. Also like the look of Luigi De Lucas. I think he's going to be quite good fun. He looks like a decent player and he's pretty solid. Hope he's crap at defending, because then it'd be even more fun. But he's looking pretty good so far.
I'm looking forward to watch. I've not seen him at all. So,
right, let's go to... Where should we go next? Let's go to Tanner Ice for the game that I saw quite a bit of it. So I would say that... So let's finish one each. United went up ahead very early in the match. Stephen Fletcher scoring in like the third
what
minute.
What a goal that is, by the way. It's so sexy. Like the little instep touch to tee up for himself and then volley it. It's fucking brilliant, man.
And it also shows that goal as well, what they're trying to do with Fletcher, because it's, again, and this is a lot of their tactics, hit Fletcher, just hit Fletcher all the time. And this is what it was, but it's also getting guys amongst them to help. And that was, Pollock doesn't touch the ball, I don't think, but he puts off the St Mirren defenders. So he's making a nuisance of himself, and that's kind of...
The John Obika role.
That's the kind of player you want alongside him, I would say, Fletcher. Somebody who could run, somebody who could maybe...
Yeah, well, Fletcher's old as fuck.
Yeah, like and Pollock covers a lot of ground. So it was backed up by Pollock, but also Jamie McGrath as well. Jamie McGrath, you can see why he's in the team, because there's not really anybody
he's
else
really
in the
mobile
team.
As well, McGrath. He can get around the pitch.
Yeah, he's slow, though. He is slow. That's the problem, because he doesn't have the legs of a Pollock or a Harkes or a Sibbald. I can see why he's there, though, because he's got that creativity and he's the only one of their team, really, that can take a set piece as well.
Bit boring.
Yeah, but they kind of need that on the side, but also he did get an injury, but I don't think United fans were particularly enamoured with his performance before then either, because he just struggles to fit that little bit in that 3-4-3 that Goodwin went with. United were the better team for the majority of the first half. St Mirren came on it a bit towards the end. United started the second half ever so slightly better, I would say, but then St Mirren really kind of came into it and were starting to put them under some pressure before the goal. St Mirren struggled, I think, in the first half to really make the ball stick up front or even to kind of knock it around. United were doing what I was saying, kind of Livingston were doing, getting the ball forward, but then playing from there and actually picking the ball about the park. Although so many times they ping it about and then they're like, okay, we've made about 10 passes. What do we do now? What's Fletcher doing? Oh, he's standing over. Oh, put it towards him again.
He's fixing his absolutely abysmal hair.
Yeah, why? Why?
It
what?
Doesn't make any sense, the hairdo.
No.
At all.
I want to know, does he just have it like that constantly? Or when he's in the house, is there a style? Is he tied up for the football, or is that just what it looks like?
It's fucking mental. It doesn't make any sense. I've never seen it before. It's like a fucking Grand Theft Auto hairdo. like it's been chosen.
And... Yeah, but the problem for United is that this is another game where you're looking at it. So there's this game, there's Aberdeen, the first game, and there was the Livingston match. All three of them. You're like, right, and another day you could have taken 3 points here, because they were better against Aberdeen in the first, better until Aberdeen scored. Like, the better team, and created a good few chances in the first half to go 1-0 up. I mean, their defence is still crap, so even if they had managed to go 1-0 up, I don't know if they would have won the game, but you know what I mean. Livingston were pretty shit in that game, and... Dundee United could easily came back to take all 3 points as opposed to just getting the one goal. And then in this one as well, they go ahead, they do have some opportunities, and they have some great opportunities once it goes one each. Because St Mirren were at them at that point, and St Mirren, yes, it's a very soft penalty.
That's an understatement.
Yes.
I'd be fucking apoplectic if that would go given against him.
It's a very soft penalty that gets them back at the game, but the goal was coming at that point. But then afterwards, Dundee United have another few chances, including Niskanen right at the end, where he's got to just pass in the net, man. Why are you even putting that much power into the ball? Yeah. Just make sure you hit the target and you've very likely scored. So there was all that, but it's like, it's a game that... So men are not good away from home. So they're passing up all these chances to get 3 points on the board, and they are looking better, and they're playing with a greater intensity, and they're playing with a clearer game plan. You look at them and think, I could easily see them getting out of this. But also, this is the new manager bounce already.
Yeah, because this happened...
Harder times are probably coming.
Because this happened a little bit with Hamill. In Motherwell, where he got a few results, but then the performances were staying good, but they weren't really getting there, and then the performances weren't good.
No.
And then they were losing all the time, and there's no room for that to happen at Dundee United. Not just Dundee United, there's no room for that to happen for Jim Goodwin, because he's playing sort of Russian roulette with his future career. He's basically already managed two of the four sort of bigger clubs in the country. And there's, well, St Mirren are probably putting that as well, like three of the six or seven biggest clubs in the country. And if it doesn't work here, Hibs and Hearts are going to come and call in for Jim Goodwin again in the future. So it's like it'll be the fastest sort of career he could have had, and then he'll just be a lower league manager, if that at all. And it's such high risk stuff. And I don't get me wrong, I appreciate it, and I think it's fair play, and I like the fact he's backing himself. But like you're saying, if he doesn't, the results are only coming now. Are they going to come later? Because it is a shit team still. That defence is fucking garbage, and they had to play Ryan Edwards again, bring him back in. And you're just like, oh, the minute you're sitting watching sports here, and they're like, oh, and Ryan, whoever was injured, and Ryan Edwards comes back in the team. Oh no, like the most regressed footballer in the country. Like, it must be. And you've got Benigetti in the papers talking about how none of it affects him. Well, stop dropping it then. If it doesn't affect you, stop looking like it affects you.
If it's not affecting you, that just means you're a horrendous goalkeeper.
Yeah. That's actually the truth. That's not the flex you think it is, Mr. Benigetti.
If it's not affecting you, you're just terrible at your job. And there's no hope of you getting any better.
So, I mean, there's still a long way to go. But I don't want to say too much because Hibs are playing Dundee United on Easter Sunday, and I'm very keen for them not to be picking up a result there.
Couple of things to say is that Mirren, I'm not a fan of Greg Kilty playing in the midfield three, and I'm also not a fan of Alex Scoggins playing the centre half when you've Joe Sonnessy on the bench. Think
fucking hate show. What has he done?
I don't know.
I don't understand. So perfectly fucking good St Mirren centre half. Perfectly good. Why? And don't use him, you'll do anything not to use him. Makes no real. He's played that recently as well. I think he was bad. Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't really make much sense. Because I would say put Gogic in the middle of the park and then have Bacchus and O'Hara either side of him, because Bacchus was in the deeper
role. Working loads.
Yeah, Bacchus was in the deeper role and didn't really do too much in this game for me. And like I say, Kilty came out of the game a wee bit in the second half, but in the first half he's pretty anonymous.
You neuter a player like Bacchus as well, playing him in the deeper role. You want him to be able to stretch his legs and get around the pitch.
Final word on Richard Taylor, who looked dodgy as fuck in the first half, but did improve quite a bit after the break, including an excellent pass for Kilty, which led to O'Hara's chance before the penalty.
He got a goal disallowed as well, didn't he?
And he got a goal disallowed. Yeah, he really came on a game after half-time, which shows it's maybe just a case of, you know, guys need to play regularly to not look shite sometimes. And it's not the most searing insight you're ever going to get, but sometimes we just kind of overlook things like that when we're judging players. Yeah. Right, Jake, you could talk about Kilmarnock 1, St Johnstone 1 in 5 minutes.
Yeah, give me a chance. I mean, I saw a bit. Kelly Ash Taylor dropped.
Yes.
Which always fine.
Shocking. Just disgraceful.
Don't understand. Liam Polworth was injured and he was replaced by Dorset, and then young Watson.
Yeah, so Dorset was in the defence. Yeah, he replaced Taylor. And
Watson played in centre midfield, and by all accounts was
David brought, David Watson.
Davey Watson. I mean, that's a boring name. But he was apparently superb. He was the captain of the under-18s. He made his debut against Montrose in the League Cup. Do you think I'm reading this guy?
Well, I read this earlier. He was the... I didn't see any of this, but I know he was the star player for this game. I've already been on the Kelly website and the
fans. It's like Derek kind of saw that article and panicked. And then
it feels like a couple of teams did that, because Ross County brought a 17-year-old this centre half for the last half hour.
You can get them to do Joe Fowler, user journalist, cares. He's gonna get them into anything.
Right. It's like, oh, the manager's like, oh, really sorry, what did they realise?
Really, if you write, just write really, really bombastic articles, and we'll have them on strings, man. You get them to do whatever you want. But I'd say the difference, they were saying that when you took what Scott was saying when I was asking him, is that Dorset has recovery pace, so him, Wright and Mayo were able to play a much higher line, which meant Kelly were able to...
Yeah, because Taylor has no pace.
Yeah, and that's fair enough, but he is their biggest goal threat. So, I mean, he's got, like, what, 4 goals and about 5 assists?
Did Kilmarnock score any other goal other than a ball into the penalty?
Yeah, so normally Armstrong into one of the big lumps in the box, normally defenders.
Which, again, Joe Wright, this one.
He does well, so... I think it worked. It looked like they were much better than they had been. Jordan Jones coming back at the team, because they've been. Because I think McInnes has been getting away, I think, with a lot, simply because I think a lot of people were really like, this team is really fucking shite.
Yeah.
Really, like, really bad.
Garbage.
So, like, he just, if he keeps them up, job done, and you can't slag off.
But that's, the Craig Anderson did say that.
They just don't like using certain creative players, even if they're not playing well, you can't need them.
Craig Anderson said that he does reckon that the best they've played this season when they've had Armstrong on one wing and Jones on the other, and he thought that McInnes went away from it too quickly. So they were both back for this one. But it's a similar situation we see with Kelly a lot of times this season, is that they play really well and score, and then don't score again.
Well, they just don't try and score. They totally up shop.
Well, McDell ball.
Yeah.
And then they inevitably concede a goal, and they're like, ah, God, can't believe we didn't win that game. That's definitely happened now three or four times this season to them.
And this one, obviously, they got another game where huge decisions probably went against them with the handball. And then the one, the Vassell one, I always think, that, again, these are these arbitrary rules. Because it hits his arm, and he turns and scores, it doesn't count. But if it hit his arm and someone else had ran in and scored, it would have counted.
Yep.
So like these are like, again, this is a bit VAR, just that we've had to create so many mental rules because we've implemented, and this is worldwide, implemented VAR. And it just, none of it, like, oh, we can't look at second bookings. We can't look at that. We like, just, none of it makes you like, well, that seems, why not? That seems completely arbitrary. These are the game-changing moments. But again, we don't want to go back into that. James Brown had a bit of a nightmare.
He was stationed on the left of their back five, or the left of midfield, however you want to kind of look at it. Let's just say back five, it's St Johnston. And he just looked a bit lost. But they put him out there specifically to try and deal with Daniel Armstrong. And he has filled in on the left of defence before, because he doesn't really have to do anything going forward. It's just like, you do a defensive job. And this was just an example of a game where he wasn't at it.
And St Johnston, it's like another one.
Just look at the St Johnston team. I'm just looking at the team right now. I've got Theo Bear is up front, Graham Carey's in midfield, and it's absolutely no surprise whatsoever. Those two players have got the wee substituted off side beside them both.
One of them 40 minutes in. But it's my favourite part of the season is the debates on what's quite the worst first half performance from St Johnston. The list is absolutely endless, because I saw it on Twitter, because I was talking about it with Joel. It's like, when Easter Road, when they actually come back and won, fair enough, but they were fucking dreadful in the game at Easter Road. They couldn't keep the ball. Hibs were just on top, like Celtic would be for the whole time. They've done the same at Pittodrie, and that was mentioned. And then someone else went, well, because they came out and said that was the worst performance, the first half performance they've had this season. And so they were 3-0 down against Livingston in the first half about 2 weeks ago. And now this is superseded it. So they are really, they always seem to have to make changes to get going. And I think that's been a problem with Davidson. You look at his team sometimes, you're like, oh, it just doesn't make, like this one, McLennan have to go, well, yeah, you'll need some fucking pace somewhere if you're playing Carey and Bear. And up front and in the midfield, there's going to have to be someone who does running somewhere. And now, how about we have that as McLennan? Because I've seen him at McLennan a lot this season. I'm not saying he's fucking brilliant, but some teams, you need to have certain attributes, have to be, to make up a competent football team, you need certain attributes. And one of them is legs, especially here. But we came back, it's an absolute peach of a goal for Dre Wright. He's sixth of the season, which is pretty impressive. And he also stung the Pams just before that, so there was like a warning sign. But I did really enjoy the tweet. I loved it. I was laughing so much this morning. Sixth goal of the season for Dre Wright. Another game, another goal. What, six goals in like 30 odd games?
It's not an average of one every five.
Yeah, it's like, so he's hardly fucking, like, and this is it. Please, I don't want this to be thought of as a criticism of Jay Wright. He has had a good season.
Yeah.
And he has shut up some of these doubters. And he's always been one of those players. You never fucking.
Well, he's gone for St Johnston Hibs, so that's just the magic formula. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're good.
Yeah.
You just have to be good now. That's the laws of the universe.
So, and he done it well, but I was laughing at that. Like, he scored like two more goals than Ash Taylor and has three less assists. So actually, I've been involved in more goals than this guy that you're putting up in something like Messi, another game, another goal for Dre Wright. What are you talking about? You can say it doesn't make any sense on any level, but fair enough. Chris Kane,
no,
came back.
That's an error.
Is that an error?
Yeah, it's Zach Rodden that came off the bench.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, Scott is getting his bald St Johnston forwards mixed up.
I was about to say, because Chris Kane's been out for ages.
Yeah, he's not back.
Oh, right. Oh, it's a shame, because, I mean, Chris Kane...
But that does still...
Chris Kane splits the podcast, so I like these players that come back.
But that is Zach Rodden is somebody that's a much stronger runner than Theo Bear, so he comes on for Bear and May and... Sorry, I was going to say May and Bear, I didn't mean to say that. May and Rodden teamed up together to put pressure on the Kelly defence in the build-up to their goal. And you wouldn't have got that with Theo Bear and team. They really need to stop this Theo Bear experiment.
It's fucking garbage, man.
Rubbish. We've actually given it 14 months now.
I'm so convinced. So good, man. So good.
Right, that'll do us. Thank you very much for listening and your continued support. Well, you listen, that's supportable.
That is support. We have
your
advice.
If you'd like to support us more, you can head over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/terracepodcast. Well, like I said, Tony's going to ask me questions about Robin Nielsen and whether he's about to get sacked.
I'm just basically going to go through all the opinions that I've seen from Hearts fans over the years, really, with Robin Nielsen, and then question whether they're myth, whether they're correct. If Fowler's changed, because he's always been quite pro-Nielsen, is that a fair assessment? And see if he's maybe changed a bit over recent weeks, or if he thinks there's just little problems that need to be ironed out. It should be fun.
Yes, it should definitely be fun. So that's patreon.com/terracepodcast. And that'll do us. Until next time, goodbye.
Godspeed. Enjoy your football.
Enjoy your...
he stole my line. He left it for me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.